This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Wait, that's so funny. Both of our managers are in Asia.
Yeah. I told them to get psyched because they have bidets everywhere.
In
Japan, apparently. Like, everywhere has a bidet. I love a bidet.
You love a bidet.
I love a clean butthole.
Do you have a bidet?
I want to get the attachment.
The tushy?
But I feel like that's a little, like, pretentious, honestly. To live in my 400-square-foot apartment, but, like...
But that's the whole premise of the thing,
also
I think,
have a bidet.
That,
you know,
that'd be a great sponsor for us. Well, that'd be a good sponsor for us. So
that would be perfect.
My friends have a tushy in both of their bathrooms, and it's nice.
Oh, tushy is the thing. You know, I've heard that Stavros just did an ad for tushy on his podcast.
Yeah, people love tushy. Welcome to Basic Training, a podcast for people that need help.
And a podcast for people that like a clean little butthole.
My friends have a tushy, and it's like, they love it.
That's like a toilet extension, right?
I think you like attach it to the back, but then it goes under the toilet seat. So it's like it's like a bidet.
It's in the toilet. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm willing to try it. Just, it feels like, it's almost like, I feel like I haven't earned a bidet yet. Like, if I'm going to get a bidet, I want to go all out with a bidet and have like a nice apartment to match it. And instead I live in like a rat hole, but I'm going to have a clean butt. It just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you know, but usually you don't have like let's be clear, you have a very nice apartment.
For considering my situation and the price I pay, it could be a lot worse. It's not a bad apartment.
Just like for what people your age usually live in New York City, like you have a big one bedroom that has exposed brick.
I wouldn't call it big. And it's a one bedroom that is technically a studio, but has a flex wall.
It's a studio alcove.
Yeah.
With exposed brick that is in a fairly clean building.
I got very lucky with the apartment. Yeah. I'm just trying to, this is going to play into other stuff, but like, everybody seems to think that I live in like Tribeca because of the exposed brick, and that I have like, because I have my own bedroom. It's
No,
I can touch my stove with my foot while I take a shit. Like very small apartment.
Sure. No. Yes.
But
okay.
The misconception is that I live in like a nice one bedroom, and it's like,
it's in fact
a shoebox one bedroom. But as far as one bedroom apartments go in lower Manhattan for a person in their 20s, I got very lucky.
Yeah. The fact that you can like close a door between your bedroom
and
that your bedroom isn't, there's a desk in your bedroom.
Yeah. When I first moved here, I lived in like a hotel room, essentially. Like you never saw my first apartment.
No.
The first 7 months that I lived here, I lived in a room that was probably the size of like this couch plus this table. Like it was I had a twin bed. I had a little like microwave with like burners.
Jesus.
And then I had the bathroom was the only door. Like it was just a room.
Yeah, that's intense.
It was intense.
Yeah, my first apartment was a three bedroom with my two best friends I moved here with. And it was so small.
Yeah.
So all of our bedrooms were like, you couldn't fully open the closet because it would hit the bed. Like tiny, 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 tiny. And then the kitchen was like literally just like a counter between. And then like the living room was like a couch, a corner table, and a television. It was so small.
But I hate roommates so much that I would rather live in an even smaller place with myself.
You and I are different in that way. Yeah. I really love having my roommates.
A lot of people, they shave off money by getting the roommates, which is totally acceptable, but they end up like that or like in some little flex wall place in Midtown or something.
Yeah, unless
where
you're a rich kid, your first apartment's going to suck in some way. In one way or another.
But so you can either decide to have it suck with other people and be like slightly less sucky, or pay an extra $400 and have it still suck, but by yourself.
Is it really? I don't think the difference is $400 anymore.
For the apartments I was looking at, it was like,
I think it's, but that was in 2019, right? When you first moved here?
When I first moved here, it was 2021.
Oh, I think it's still gotten worse.
Yeah. It's getting
post-COVID,
a lot worse.
It's getting crazy.
It's unlivable.
Now.
We can't live here.
I know.
I'm torturing myself and I need to leave. I'm wearing the same makeup that I was wearing yesterday when we recorded and the same underwear.
Okay.
I haven't showered or washed my face.
Did you not stay at your place?
No.
Yeah, that's how that'll go.
These are the boys' clothes.
Yeah, that's the early relationship life is like not having, yeah.
I'm wearing a muscle tee.
It looks great.
Thanks,
is that
like
Quicksilver?
It.
Is that the brand? No, it's Nike.
I have no idea.
Sorry, you're reminding me. That graphic tee is very like my hometown, early 2000s, like energy.
Yeah, I like it.
Speaking of shirts, I'm wearing this shirt from this event I went to, this Bonnie's Prime Rib Night. This was the most opulent thing I have experienced in New York City.
Really?
Yeah. So do you know about Bonnie's? No. It's like a restaurant. It's like a, I think it's Cantonese inspired food. Okay. It's like, it's a Chinese restaurant in Williamsburg.
Okay.
They have like, it's really fun food. It's like, they have like their version of like a McRib, and it's like a giant McRib.
Oh, I love that.
And it's like, it's very, very, very good. I've gone twice before. It's like really good. They did this like event that was like invite only with Westholm, which is like an Australian like beef producer. This sounds like an ad. It's not. I also like was a plus one to this event.
Yeah.
And so it was like this, like it, they called it like prime rib night, and it was like everything was Wagyu beef. And it was like, we sat down and there was a menu, and I was like, what should we order? And then we realized it's like, oh, it's not ordering. This entire menu is being served to you. And like, they brought everything to the table. There was so much food. It was me and my roommate, Andrew. The food was, I ate the best onion rings of my life. I can't stop thinking about these onion
rings. So the
thing that kind of sucks about this dinner is none of this food is on the normal menu.
Right.
So you can't ever have it again.
To make onion rings opulent that is was very
the, and
special.
And here's the thing. Everyone was saying that. Like, we were talking, like, we were talking to the tables next to us, and everyone was like, some people were like, I don't even like onion rings, and these are the best things I've ever eaten. Like, these onion rings, I can't explain them to you, were so good. Had this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous meal. Then I was like, and then turned out everything was covered. Like, we didn't have to pay for it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And then they were like, and on your way out, there's a treat in the backyard. Like, please exit through the backyard. We go in the backyard. There's a giant ice sculpture that they're pouring lychee martinis through. So then,
whoa,
you get a martini through you get like a lychee martini poured through an ice luge. And then they gave you a cooler at the end that was like branded like this shirt is with, they give you a bag with this shirt in it that said whatever. And oh, it says Bonnie's prime rib night. And then the whole menu from the night is on the arm, which is so funny. And then they gave you this cooler, and they were like, there's a steak in the cooler. And there was like a vacuum sealed giant Wagyu steak in the cooler.
This place is insane.
It was ridiculous. I was like, this is the craziest night of my life.
I was about to come in here and talk about my opulent night, but you blew me out of the water.
No,
so I feel a
yours.
Lot better. No, I went to a Hanukkah party, and there was an ice sculpture menorah, and I was like, we're never beating the Rich Jewel allegations. Like, it's just, we're going to be known as this forever. It was beautiful. It was like, the person who threw it is a chef, and they really wanted to just make a beautiful, nice night for Jewish friends, but it was like unlike anything I'd ever experienced in my life. There were three or four different flavors of latkes. I had like giant hunks of brisket, and there was a tahini cocktail. Like, this is a whole production.
I actively try not to be picky. I don't like when I dislike a food, and I try to like actively put in effort to like something.
Yeah.
I really struggle with tahini.
That's okay.
It's like, what?
I'll accept you.
It's so overpowering to me.
It's rich, yeah.
Like, what's that Jewish restaurant? There's a Jewish restaurant in Williamsburg that's famous for the tahini cold brew shake. Do you know about this?
Is it Laser Wolf?
No, it's more of like a counter than like a sit down restaurant.
I don't know.
I've been there, and like, this, people go ape shit for this tahini cold brew shake. And I had one sip and I was like, I need to sit down.
Yeah.
Like, it just hits me so hard.
It's,
I like,
rich,
like hummus.
Yeah.
But it's not my favorite thing.
Yeah. It's just, it's a lot of cream, lots of creamy. It's,
yeah,
but it was good. I love a creamy cocktail. And so that was my night. So we lived lives of opulence, baby.
We lived some lives of opulence. I was also at a very nice, very, very nice latke caviar party. It was like latkes, caviar, and champagne. And about 45 minutes into it, I came down with the worst food poisoning. Not from, like, I want to be clear, not from the latke. Like, it would have been too fast. It was from something I ate the day before. It must have been. I came down with the most horrific food poisoning I have had in recent memory. And was,
really?
I was fully sick for 4 days. Yesterday was the first day I felt okay.
Who made these latkes?
My friend Greg.
They're not that hard to fuck up.
No, they're not from the latkes.
Oh.
Is what I'm saying. Like, I was at the latke party, but it was something I must have eaten the day before.
What is a latke party?
Like, it was a Hanukkah party where he had made latkes.
Oh.
And there was like latkes and caviar and like,
right, okay,
and like cream cheese, or not,
sure,
cream cheese, sour
so
cream.
A Hanukkah party.
Yes, yes. I guess I called it a, because we, the Hanukkah part had not happened before I came down with food poisoning. I had to leave.
Yeah.
Which was really bad.
Did you do the prayers and stuff?
I think they were, I like, the, you need to understand, they put out the latkes. I was so excited. We started to eat them. I then was like, something's wrong.
Oh, that sucks.
And then I was like in the bathroom for most of the party for like an hour. And then I like went up and I was like trying to hide it, because it was,
yeah,
like, I didn't want to, like, it was embarrassing. It's like,
yeah,
body stuff like that is embarrassing.
Sure.
And then I like went up and I was like, I'm really sorry. Like, this has been so nice, but I have to leave right now.
Ugh,
and
then, the worst.
And so I don't really know what else was done. But by the time I got home, it was like, it was really bad.
Yeah. Being in a, that sucks is having to hide stomach problems in a somebody else's apartment. But being in any sort of fancy apartment for me, like just peeing in general, I'm like embarrassed to pee. I feel like there's cameras in there or something. Like, I feel like it's embarrassing to actually use the restroom. I was in one of these restrooms last night that had like stone in the sink.
See, I kind of just find that I'll go to the, if I find a social situation overwhelming, the bathroom is my sanctuary.
I know, but then I feel like I'm doing something wrong by squatting over this toilet.
This is kind of funny. One time my dad, this is maybe a little fucked up, but what? I'm the oldest of five. There's always, my family's like complicated. My siblings are a lot younger than me, and I oftentimes would find going out to restaurants very overwhelming.
Okay.
Because there were small children, right. There were a lot of dynamics. It was oftentimes a very stressful thing. Yeah. So I would take breaks by going to the bathroom. Like, it was very normal for me during a dinner to go to the bathroom upwards of 5-6 times.
Right.
To probably, you almost never pee. Sometimes wash my hands, sometimes splash cold water on my face, sometimes just literally stand there. And like, it was just a thing I did. Right. And I also, it was not a thing I was conscious of, because I would just do it when I absolutely had to. I was like, I have to get up from the table and go take a break.
Right.
And I didn't really think much of it. And I also like very naively thought like it was conspicuous. Like, I did not think people knew about this. And then one day my dad followed me into the bathroom and fully accused me of being bulimic.
Whoa.
And I was like, he was like, you go to the bathroom so much like after you eat. And I was like, oh my God, no. I just find you all very stressful.
Right. Like, you're just annoying. Yeah, yeah. I'm not throwing up.
I'm just taking a breather.
Yeah, I'm just, you're just annoying. I had that same problem with my fourth grade teacher, Miss Lopez. I didn't realize I was going to the bathroom a lot, but I just like to take walks. Like, I just wanted to break from class.
Have we already talked about this? How I think it's so fucking corny that teachers say no to letting you go to the bathroom.
It's so stupid. But she would let me go every time, but then one day she pulled me aside and she was like, I think I'm going to have to call your mom. Are you having lady problems? I'm in fourth grade. I'm like, what are you talking about, lady?
Girls get their periods that early now, which is crazy.
It's crazy. But I was like, no, I don't know what you're referring to. I just am so bored. Like, I want to go take a walk.
Yeah.
What do you mean? I want to go peek in the classroom of my crush.
I know. If I was a kid now and my teacher told me if I had to go to the bathroom and my teacher said no, I would look them dead in the eyes and piss in the chair. And be like, deal with it.
Did you ever pee your chair?
No.
I did once.
I never. Wait. No, I never.
I'll never forget it.
That's so tough.
Sorry, I'm just like having a flashback to it.
My version of that was like one of my most embarrassing moments when I was young was my mom, because before my parents split up, my mom was a stay at home mom, so she would come in a lot on the days where like the teacher needed help from parents like doing like a holiday party or something, and so for Valentine's Day in the first grade, my mom came in to like help facilitate everything. And you know how like it was the, you know how like you would do the thing where you would get
pass
like
around the Valentine's.
And everyone gets a Valentine from every kid. So there's like hundreds of Valentines.
Yes.
And someone had made these like giant cupcakes with pink frosting on them.
Okay.
And I must have been like overwhelmed trying to organize my Valentines on my desk. And so I put the cupcake on my chair and then I sat in it.
No.
And had no idea. And was
I don't know.
But then like I remember getting up to walk across the room to like, I don't know, give someone a Valentine or something. I mean, this is first grade. I'm like 6 years old, five, like I'm really young. And I remember everyone started to like yell and squeal. And I was like, what's happening?
So
and I didn't even
mortifying.
Realize it was about me. And then all of a sudden my mom is behind me in front of everyone, wiping frosting off my ass, like scraping, like getting a wet paper towel and like wetting my ass like in front of everyone. And I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh,
like,
you just had to stand there.
So yeah, just had to stand there.
That's so tough. I'm sorry.
I actually had a lot of instances of things getting on my ass when I was a kid, because I also one time sat in chewing gum on the dugout in T-ball and got stuck to the bench. Like my pants got stuck.
And the craziest thing is that you were playing T-ball and you were in a dugout.
Like the little bench. I guess
I'm just picturing you playing baseball.
If I showed you the picture, my T-ball baseball card, if I could find that and show it to you, your head would explode.
I would love to see that.
I'll find it. It's so. Do you know how cute of a baby I was? Have you seen
it? I can imagine. Look how cute you are now.
You're going to lose your mind when I find this baby picture.
I can't wait to see it. I loved Valentine's Day in elementary school and the holiday parties because everybody would bring stuff and you felt like it was special.
Well, I was also just like, you don't have to do school that day.
Right. But like, you, I had I think that part of the reason I dedicated the rest of my life to begging for attention online was because I never had anyone bring cupcakes for my birthday to class.
Right.
All of my birthdays were sitting at home. Like, I would have died to have my mom like come in and make it an occasion for 15 minutes. We all sit and eat my cupcakes.
Do you want to hear my favorite like school trauma birthday thing ever? My friend Zach, who's one of my best friends from college, we were roommates in college. We were roommates for 2 years here in New York. His birthday, he was really upset in the fourth grade because his birthday fell on a Saturday that year. And he was like, sometimes when it's on the weekend, they fuck it up and they forget to announce your birthday and they don't do the thing.
Right.
If they're good, they remember to do it on the Friday or the Monday, but sometimes they fuck it up. And so they didn't say it on Friday. And he was like, fuck. Like, he was like, fuck, I'm fucked. They're not going to do it. So the whole weekend, he was nervous about whether or not they were going to do it on Monday, like announce his birthday and do the get the attention. And then on Monday, they don't do it. And he's like, fuck me. Like, he's devastated. And then Tuesday, they're all sitting in class. And he's like, they're all sitting like, okay, everyone, we're going to go to the auditorium. And he's like, well, thank fucking God. They finally remembered it was my fucking birthday. And they all go to the auditorium. And he's like, my birthday. And then they're like, two planes have hit the Twin Towers. And he was like, okay.
I can't believe they told fourth graders that.
Yeah, I was surprised because they didn't tell us in school.
I hear shit about that, like how people found out before high school. Like, what are they gonna say to you? Like,
I know.
Hi everybody, you're in fourth grade. Please stop finger painting real quick.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna move away from 9/11 so I can show you a photo of me as a baby. Are you ready?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That's cute, Jay.
I mean, I kind of went crazy with that.
That's really cute. Wow. That almost makes me want to have one.
I know. I'm like Cabbage Patch doll level in that.
Beautiful. Yeah, you are a Cabbage Patch. Very chub.
Should we take a call? Super terrific. Yeah, let's do a call.
Uh-oh, I want some more. Uh-oh, what
I... Wait, who sings that?
Guess. Wait, I don't know. Take a bite of my heart tonight. Whoa, I want some more.
Isn't it called like...
Whoa.
Who sings that?
Is it Bridget Mendler?
No, it's a guy. It's a band.
Oh.
Did you hear Bridget Mendler?
I don't really know who that is. Whoa, what are you waiting for, lyrics?
Whoa.
Hi guys. So I called about my boyfriend of 2.5 years where the sex is just kind of giving me the ick, or I don't know if it's the sex or because it used to be good, but now it's just like, what the heck am I doing? But I also think it's because I know, like, the red is flag. The flag is red. I know. And it's just like, this is my first boyfriend. I'm young, and I don't know. It's just like, and I just know, like, I need to break up with him. But, like, how do you do that? And, like, I just know he's going to accuse me of cheating. He's going to probably get angry. and it's just gonna be like a shit show whenever I go to approach that. And it's just like, do I just take it? Do I let him accuse me of cheating? I mean, I guess I should just let him believe whatever he wants to, and just like, I don't know. There's just a lot. And it's just like, do I just tell him like, oh, I just don't want to be together anymore because I just want to be free because I'm young and need to experience life as a young adult who's single. I just don't know what to do. And I'm just stressing because it's unfair to be with him knowing all this. And it's just, I don't know. I'm just, I feel like I'm in such a sticky situation because obviously I'll miss him and things, and I just don't know. But anyways, Talia, this is my favorite podcast, and Jake, I will leave a Apple review to make you happy. Bye.
Thank you for the compliment, and thank you for the action item completion for Jake.
Yes, thank you so much. You need to start demanding the reviews. I can't believe that's associated with me specifically.
I know, I will demand them today. You're breaking up with him because you have the ick, but not because he's the type of guy who would like freak out on you and get really angry and accuse you of cheating.
This guy sucks. We don't care what happens to him.
No, this guy is a loser. Garbage. Throw him out. No. You're going to say, hi, I want to break up. Thank you so much for the wonderful memories. It's nothing about you. I'm just ready to be single.
Yeah.
And if he gets angry, you say, well, this is why we're breaking up. Bye.
I have multiple things to say.
Yeah.
Are you one? I think across the board, I can't think of a situation where this is not true. A hard, clean break is always the best.
Yeah.
I think it always is the best. I feel like I've learned that in my life now. A hard, clean break. Hi, I've decided I want to break up. I'm really sorry. I know this hurts. But we are breaking up. That is the decision I have made. I think that is the healthiest, kindest thing you can do for a person is a hard, clean break. I really believe that. Two, this guy sucks. Like, I don't care what happens to him. Like, if this thing that happens where girls are afraid to break up with a guy because they're afraid he will accuse them of cheating is so bizarre to me.
Like, I think it comes from a fear of the guy not being able to accept that you simply just don't like them anymore and they have to blame it on something else, which just indicates that you're with a guy with a very weak
spine. That's what I'm saying. But it's like, you shouldn't care because like he's going to go for your character, but also you're not going to be dating him anymore.
Right.
So it doesn't matter. Like,
well, I would say that in every situation, that's something to consider, but also she's not wrong for being concerned about how he's going
to
portray her because
To
other guys.
Yeah,
like,
I get that.
I'm not gonna put these ideas in your head. They don't seem like they're there. But like, guys, you never really fucking know, okay? I see a news story of a girl getting hurt by a guy she broke up with every fucking day because he's sensitive and he fucking hits her. Like, no, I totally get why you might be scared about the way that he's perceiving you. But at the end of the day, if you're really afraid he's gonna get angry, something about this just gives me the heebie-jeebies. I just really don't 100%. Like it. I think you should like have a friend outside. Just have a friend, have a getaway car.
I was going to say do it in a public place.
Yeah, do it in a public place is a great idea. But I really do think that like you shouldn't be concerned with what he's going to say, but maybe if you're really nervous about, it just seems like there's such fear about how he's going to view her. And to me, that suggests there's a fear about how he's going to talk about her. You know what I mean? So I think do it in a public place or do it with a getaway car outside just so that you can like leave. Like you don't want him to like keep you there and yell at you forever. And also you want to go and make sure that your friends know, like anyone who he could tell that is worth anything to you.
I know it's sort
of
you
should get ahead of it and be like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, break up with him today. And
it's sort of what came to mind for me was like, you know, when people like, it's kind of dark, but when people are like, I'm not suicidal, so if I kill myself, it's that someone else killed me. You know what I mean? Like when people like post that online, it's like sort of that, like, I'm not cheating on him. I'm going to break up with him. So if he says that, it's because I just broke up with him. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
and only tell that to people that you care about and that are trustworthy that you want to stay friends with. But like, if you're really that nervous about him fucking up your reputation, defaming you, just go to the people that you care about the day of. Don't give them a chance to go tell him first. And you say, just, you know, kind of as we say, float it over to them and say, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm just not feeling it anymore. I think it's time. And nothing that you wouldn't want him to hear himself. And that way the people who you care about having a good view of you. I'm not articulating myself well. Those people know what the right. real story was, if that's going to help you feel more confident. But at the end of the day, no, of course you should break up with this guy. It doesn't matter really how you do it. Just do it. This guy sucks. He's freaky.
Yes.
I don't like him.
I don't like him at all. So
bad news.
Yes. Just prioritize your safety and don't care about his feelings at all because I don't think they matter.
Sorry. Yeah. At the beginning, I was going to say be sensitive, but like.
I don't think, don't be antagonistic. Like, don't poke at him, but I don't think you need to I think you just need to break up with him as like, it's almost like the nooch thing of like, just don't give him that much to react to, you know?
And do it in a semi-public place is probably the best. That keeps the reactions to a minimum. Some people say that's unfair, but I think in this case, it's like what you have to do.
Yes.
He's going to yell at you and accuse you of things you didn't do.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think it's wrong to break up with somebody in a public place? I see that in like movies all the time where the girl's like,
I think it's
how
fucked
dare
up.
You?
I think in a situation where you are concerned about safety, it's 100% fine. Otherwise, I think it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Maybe like a park is fine,
that's
but
what
like
I'm saying, like maybe not a quiet restaurant.
I think a restaurant or bar is super fucked up.
Just a place where like somebody somewhere can see you. Don't do it in like a car with him.
That's what I'm saying. Like or like a house.
And not to like think worst case scenario. I'm thinking he's not going to hurt you. He's just going to like sit there and yell at you for fucking 2 hours.
Right.
Like you don't want that to happen. Just be somewhere public where you can walk away.
I think a park is fine. I think you're allowed to break up with someone in a park.
Yeah, I think that's totally fine.
So first of all, love you two to death, okay? Second of all, I promised my sister if I ever called in that I would give her a shout out because we both religiously listen to the podcast and none of us ever call in because we don't have anything to call in about, but finally I'm calling in, so shout out to my sister. Okay, you guys, I want to remain anonymous on this because it's literally so embarrassing, but there's no other way to say this other than to say it. I'm in love with a sexy rabbi. Know what to do about it, you guys. To be fair, he is a rabbi student. He's not like a full rabbi yet, but he is so fucking hot, you guys. He's so hot. And if you've ever seen the second season of Fleabag, like when she fucks the priest, you guys, I don't know what that show did to my psyche, but something has been unlocked within me. Like, I just think this man is so stunning. And I don't know if it's because he's hot or because he's like off limits. I'm just like obsessed with this man. Like, I haven't had a crush this big since I was like 22. Like, I'm so excited. By the way, I'm 28 for context and he's 32. Okay, anyways, my question is logistical first of all. Like, Talia, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but like, can a rabbi student in training date non-Jews? Or like, is it just like off limits? Like, should
Jewish.
I just like banish
Jewish.
The thought? Like, should it just not be in my head, period? He's in the conservative sect. I don't know if that like makes any difference. But like, someone please just put me out of my fucking misery. Like, unshackle me and just tell me it's just not possible. Just tell me to my face. Okay, and then second of all, like, here's my other question. So we've had a few like conversations out in the hall, in the laundry room, you know, little flirty, like type of conversations. Like, there's definitely like some flirtation going on, but I can't tell if it's just like friendly flirting, you know, but he said like, oh yeah, like we should hang out. Like, I'll stop by, I'll knock on your door. He hasn't, but he said it. And so my friend told me to ask him to this play, to be like, oh, I have an extra ticket to this play. Do you want to go with me? Because it's about Israelis. And they were like, oh, he's going to love this like musical thing. So today I like ran into him in the hall accidentally on purpose. And I was like, oh my God, I have an extra ticket to this play. Like, do you want to come? Like, it's about Israelis, like da 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 da. And he, at first I was like, do you want to come to this play with me? I have an extra ticket. And he was kind of like, oh yeah, like what is it? And I was like, oh, it's this play. And he was like, oh, I've already seen that. And I was like, oh really? He's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, is it good? And he was like, yeah. And then basically, I was like, oh my God, it's bad. He's like, no, it's not that bad. It's definitely not winning top 10 musicals of the year. So basically, like, we ended it with him being like, okay, like, we'll talk about this. It's not that bad. Let's talk about it. But basically, like, I feel like it was a very gentle rejection. I do believe him that he's seen the play. And I do think he has like much more harsh tastes about plays and musicals and things because he's like an actor professionally. So I feel like, you know, the rest of us plebes might like a musical, but he's like, this sucks or whatever. So I do believe him. But I also feel like if you liked me, you would say yes to this. So I kind of feel like this is just like an obvious sign that like he just clearly doesn't like you. And like, you know, he might want to hang out friendly wise, but like, he's definitely not into you because if I were into someone, I would just go with him to a play I fucking hate. I don't care. Anyways, so I'm just like, should I just drop it is my question. Should I just fucking drop this? Are all the signs like, first of all, he can't even date you? And second of all, like, he's not into you if like he's not even trying to see a play that he's already seen with you. Okay, that's all my questions. Love you two both. Parentheses bear.
Okay.
Obsessed. Love you. Love you a ton.
So excited. I love.
Okay, so a couple main things. The best part about being Jewish is that you totally can't have a Fleabag situation, and it's not a taboo. It's
The rabbis date.
Yeah, they're the clergy members. Clergy, is it clergy?
Clergy
members. They're not expected to. In Orthodox communities, you have to be married to be a rabbi, I believe. But interfaith, relationships are accepted. You can become, you can graduate rabbinical school, in an interfaith relationship and become a rabbi. I believe though that that's just for reform. I wouldn't know the logistics, but I know that here's what I will say. For a Jew who is intent on becoming a rabbi, who's this committed to the faith
and in the conservative
in the conservative sect, regardless of the quote unquote rules, this person is going to expect to marry a Jewish woman. I'm a reformed Jew. I had my bat mitzvah, but I don't practice Torah study. I still expect to marry a Jewish man, and that is a huge deal breaker for me. So Jews want to be with other Jews, and even down to like dating. I don't know how it would be for a rabbinical student, but I imagine this person feels that like being Jewish is a huge part of their life. So in order to really connect with a woman, that person might need to be Jewish. So don't be offended or upset if this person ultimately can't
Converting
date you.
Count?
Yeah, no, they would, you could convert. I'm saying, okay, you could definitely convert. Look, if you want to marry this guy, I'm going to say, let's be real. There's a 90% chance you will be expected to convert. But I'm just talking about, we're thinking way ahead of the game here. What is his mindset when talking to a non-Jewish woman? I'm sure there's no rules against having sex with you. There's no rules against dating you. I'm sure that he is just thinking, how can I connect with a person who's not Jewish when being Jewish is literally my entire life? He's studying to be a rabbi.
Right.
And even if, maybe if we do connect without her being Jewish, she will have to convert one day. So that's probably what he's thinking when it comes down to it. But so just know that, if you're going to marry the guy, you're going to convert. But it's not bad to convert. Welcome to the faith. It's a great time. Everyone loves it. But what was I going to say? Oh, in regards to this play and whatever, what do you think? I mean, I just think, he's seen it before.
Oh, if he saw it and he didn't like it, he's not going to want to go again. Yeah, that has nothing to do with you. I think that there's also a chance that you, like you said, it's like the Fleabag forbidden thing. And it's like that really builds it up all up in your head. I don't think you have all that much to lose. So I would say shoot a hard shot. Like, just be like go knock on his door or something. Like, I think that you are clearly in a tizzy about all of this.
So you have a crush. It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. But get rejected and move on, or get laid and see where it goes. You know what I mean? I think that those are the two options. Yeah. And I think that it's you don't have that much to lose. And I think that it's not, he is, as far as I understand, allowed to date you and have sex with you at this point in his life.
Yes. But there might be mental blockages to that.
Sure.
But
this is my point, is there's no hard, That could be true of anyone, that they have mental blocks around dating someone. So it's just shoot your shot and see what happens.
Yes, also it's kind of magical because it works out in such a way where if he does reject you, you can feasibly blame it on the fact that you're not Jewish and that's it. That could be the absolute reason that he's rejecting you. Again, this if you had a crush on some random reformed Jew, that wouldn't be a thing. But a guy who's studying to be a rabbi, it's probably pretty important to him that you're Jewish. So if he rejects you, blame it on that.
The level between reformed and Orthodox?
Yes, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's the level between, because I'm forgetting if there are sort of there's tiers. A zillion little tiers in sex, I believe. But if we're looking at a very broad view. Yeah. But even in my view, to make the jump from reformed to conservative is a big jump. For some people, it's not. It depends on
would conservative be like women have to wear skirts sort of thing?
Yeah, I believe that's more of a Orthodox take. I know many conservative Jews who don't.
I haven't heard conservative as much as I've heard Orthodox, so I don't really know what the terms of conservative are.
The way I view it in my mind, and correct me, you don't have to correct me if I'm wrong, I probably am wrong, but this is my interpretation. Uh-huh. The way I was raised, I was reform. But even looking at other people who call themselves reform, I was you're a lot more practicing than I am, or you're a lot less. So I went to a Reform Jewish camp, which was like, it really did, it broke down to like the amount of minutes a day that we prayed versus like the other camp that was more conservative that my other friends went to was like way, way more religious stuff.
I gotcha.
And they all kept kosher at the camp and blah, blah, blah. My camp was kosher too, but these kids all kept kosher at home, which I didn't. A lot of them spoke Hebrew or went to Jewish J school, which I didn't. But a lot of them called themselves Reform. So to them, it was like even less.
I gotcha.
Like, it just depends on who you are. But if you're if he calls himself conservative, probably means that he is kosher, planning on marrying a Jewish woman, going to, you know, study the Torah. And like, you know, does he wear tzitzit? Does he have like how Jewish is he? I don't know. But regardless, it's a really good problem to have, because if he doesn't want to go on a date with you, once you go for the hard shoot your shot,
it's not a personal rejection.
You can totally feasibly, I would blame it on, well, he's just not looking for a Jew.
What if he's like, just so you know, this isn't because you're not Jewish. I just don't like you.
I'm just not attracted to you. No,
he's not going to say that.
What if he like says that he's, he like says, no, I'm not into non-Jews. And then the next day he like brings a girl home who is like so very clearly not Jewish. That would suck. But just
whatever.
Get over it.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
Next call. Fine.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Shout out to your sister.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat. It's going to be Shabbat right now. That's why we're recording. Okay.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Hey guys, love the pod. So here's my sitch. I've been dating this guy for like 2 months now, and I really like him. Like, we have so much in common. I have so much fun with him. He's really fucking hot, has a great job, just like perfect. And I feel like I could actually see it going somewhere. But here's the issue. So the first time we had sex, it was quick. And I'm not talking like a minute quick. I'm talking like 10 seconds. Okay. And so like immediately after, he was like, I'm so sorry. Like sometimes that happens in the beginning. Like it's the first time. I was nervous. And I was like, okay. So I sort of gave him the benefit of the doubt. But that is not the case, because it's literally happened every single time we've had sex since then. And like, he's good at other parts of sex. So I'm like, okay, like it kind of compensates, but not really. And at the end of the day, like, I just realized that it's kind of a deal breaker for me that the fact that this man can't last for more than 10 seconds. Anyways, my question is, do I bring this up to him in a way, saying that like, hey, this is something that you can like treat, there's options, you can try SSRIs, blah blah blah, like I'm in med school, like I'm not saying like, oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with this guy, because he can't last, you can fix it. So should I bring it up and say it like that, or should I just end things, because I don't want to hurt his feelings, and that's what I'm worried about if I bring it up. So I don't know. It's a shitty situation. I still want to hurt his feelings. Okay, so do I break up with him, or do I bring up a combo of like, let's try to fix this together? Let me know. Thanks.
Definitely try to fix it before you break up.
Try to fix it. Try to fix it.
What do you say? You're the man.
I mean, I It's interesting because I've never, like, I feel like the thing that I feel like you hear about, and I feel like I've in my life encountered more between like antidepressants and vaping. I feel like there's a lot more issues of getting, keeping it up than coming too fast.
Yeah.
I feel like in general, that I hear about. So I feel like I have more knowledge for what, how to handle those situations. But like the coming too fast is like, yeah, I get, I mean, I would say you said at the beginning, like you love him and he's perfect. Did she say love? She really likes him. I would be like, you got to try to treat it, you know, like I didn't realize. Yeah, it makes sense. You could take SSRIs or like, yeah, I'm sure there's treatments. I think there's like numbing lube or something. I don't know. Like, I would say just try to fix it first. But like, if it is like really important to you that he like is able to like fuck, then like you do need to try to fix it. And then if it's not fixable, I guess then you have to move on.
Yeah. There's only so many times that can happen before you stop feeling very flattered. Before you stop feeling like, oh, I'm just so hot. And it's actually,
is that like a straight guy thing? Like, do you feel like you've encountered that a lot?
I had a problem with it once. Like, that was like to the point we could not have sex. Like, it was like putting on the condom. It was like
he would come from that. Oh my God.
It was really bad. But at the first one or two times, I was sort of like, I'm just that girl. And then it's like, no, you're not. There's a problem. There's a serious problem.
That's so crazy.
But it's a medical problem just like any other. And the problem is, this is one of my big problems with men. I only have a few, famously, but this is one of them. They will take forever to simply ask for medical help for their problem. They'll wait until half the hair has fallen off their head before they start thinking like, maybe I can take some preventative hair loss medication.
No, it's so true.
And then
true.
They just complain about being bald for the rest of their fucking lives. They, you know, deal with the erectile dysfunction or the premature ejaculation. They start self-medicating with Viagra before you know it, they're having a heart attack and that's it. It's just like, they don't go to the damn doctor. And it's not, it's a pride thing or an ego thing. I don't know. Yeah. It's just like, it really pisses me off. So forgive me if I'm not sympathetic enough to this. I think I've just dealt with it so much that I'm just like, yeah, of course you should fucking tell him, but I get that you love him. My first advice is no, don't break up with him. Not yet. A reason to break up with a guy is not the fact that he's coming fast. It's the fact that maybe after a bunch of times begging him to get help because you two deserve to have fun in intimacy,
yeah,
and he doesn't, that's a reason to break
up
with
him. I also
think
utilize the fact that you're in med school. Like, talk about it as a medical issue and not as a personal issue, I think.
Yeah.
So that it's less like, because I think it'll be hard for him if he's thinking like, I'm letting her down.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's like, cause it's like, obviously you want to get fucked, but it's also like, it's just like an objective reality of like, hey, you come like crazy fast. Like, yeah. And we both know that. And that's not about like you or me, or like, that's not about me. It's about like, this is the thing you clearly deal with. And you said you've dealt with it before. So like, I know from school that like there are treatments. I think you should look into them. And then if he's like, I don't want to do that, then that's when you can be like, okay, well, I need to get fucked. So that's going to be an issue in our relationship.
Exactly.
But I think start off the conversation with you not being a part of it.
Exactly. The reason you're breaking up with him is not the fact that he has this little issue.
It's
that's
that he
so
won't
common
do anything about it. That's so true.
It's that he doesn't care enough about you to try. You know what I mean? That like showing a little bit of effort. May I, I'm afraid to bring this up. I don't know if it's confidential, but I'll say this. I've dealt with a guy before who had a terrible snoring problem, and I really liked having sleepovers, but I could not deal with it. And I feel bad for saying this, but my dad snores a lot, and to the point where like my mom cannot deal with it, but he won't go to a sleep apnea doctor. It's been 30 years.
Yeah.
It's just the pride of it. Like, will not admit that it's that big of a deal. And the guy that I was seeing that I really liked dealt with it in a day, like went to a doctor, like made a doctor's appointment in a day. The minute that he heard that I was so, I could not sleep because it's like,
did he get a solution that worked in one day?
Yeah, like a machine. He went to the doctor and they started testing him for sleep apnea that day.
What is sleep apnea? Do you know? I literally don't know what it is.
I'm not familiar with the details of it. My example with that, I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble with my dad, but the example was that's how I knew that that guy really cared about my quality of sleep and my totally happiness and my quality of life. It's like, maybe it's a little bit embarrassing to confront the fact that you have like a slight medical issue, even though it's so fucking common and it's not a problem. But you care enough about me getting sleep or getting fucked or whatever that you're going to make this appointment today. That's amazing. Whereas my dad is just like,
I
he's
think it's like a generational
guy
thing that's like going down and down because like that reminds, because like my grandfather snores too.
Yeah.
And my grandfather for like the entirety of my life has been like borderline deaf, like cannot hear and refuses to get a hearing aid and claims like it's not
that's
that
bad.
That's
how my grandma is.
And it's like, why are you, it's, I think it must be a generational thing. And I think maybe it's there. It does. Some people are still inheriting this, yeah, like culturally, but it's like this thing of like, if you don't acknowledge your medical issue, because it's not like a medical issue that's like causing pain or like causing life threatening. You know what I mean? Well, actually, but apparently snoring is really dangerous. I don't really understand why, but people say it's bad, but like
breathing is important. Clearly, yeah, breathing is very
like,
important.
These like, what am I trying to say? Like they like these like mid-level, these are like clearly severe issues that they're right, not like life-threatening and they're not painful. So like if I ignore them, then they're not real. And it's like, but everyone else is dealing with them. Like right, my entire life I've had to deal with, the, you know what I mean? Your mom is, it's like, just get a treatment.
Right.
Just get a treatment.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And it's like, it's not that my dad has a lack of thoughtfulness about my mom or my quality of sleep. It's the fact that like, I guess the guy that's younger than him that I'm talking about is a lot more evolved and is in a generation that cares more about other people, maybe. I don't know. But the that's why I have very little sympathy for like 25-year-olds who are going bald. If you're going to sit there and complain to me all fucking day long, I'm the one who has to hear constantly about how upset you are that
it's
you're going
so
bald.
It's so easy to get
and
on finasteride. Like, it's so easy.
Finasteride or get a hair installment, get a transplant or get a toupee. I don't care, but stop complaining.
I saw a really crazy video about hair transplants, something I didn't know about them.
What, that they're dangerous?
No. So like if you, and I need to like corroborate that this is true, but this, if this is real, like the world is about to be a really, like really crazy place.
Yeah.
So like it doesn't prevent hair loss. Like it just replaces the hair that's been lost. Right. Yeah. So they take the hair from back here.
Yeah.
They put it here, but then you'll continue to lose hair here. So like in 20 years, we might have guys who have like full head of front hair and then nothing. So they'll have like bangs.
I love that. You know, there. I went to a party last night with my BF and there was a girl who had fake bangs and she took them off and showed everybody her bang clip.
I love
extensions.
When Chriselle does that on Selling Sunset. It always makes me happy.
I was like, should I put this on my pussy? I think it would be so funny. What if you, I had like a little curtain bang that you had to open?
Have you been watching Naked Attraction? Do you know what this? It's on Max. It's amazing. You should watch it. It's this British reality show where like it's a dating show where one person goes on and then there are five pods with people in them, okay, naked ass, like bare ass naked people. And the first round, the door of the pod raises up to here and you can just see their legs and their genitals. And then they have to eliminate someone based on just the appearance of their legs and genitals. And then it raises up to here and they are like to here. And then they have to eliminate someone based on like their torso, legs and genitals. And then it raises up and they can see their full face and body. Then they eliminate someone based on face and body.
Do you see their whole thing?
You see everything. They do zoom ins. They're coming up. They're also like the host and the contestant are walking up being like, I don't like that vein. Like it's so specific. And then they speak and then someone gets eliminated based on the sound of their voice and what they said. And then the person who's picking leaves the stage. They get bare ass naked. They come back and then they eliminate a final person and go on a date with the other person. It's so crazy. But sometimes, and this is a thing people get eliminated for a lot of the time, is like people have like the wildest pubes. Like not, I'm not talking about ungrown, like I'm not talking about unmanicured pubes. Like I don't care if you have a huge bush. It's like, that's hair. I think that's normal.
Right.
Like there was this one guy who had his pubes shaved into a perfect square. I was like, that's not gross. Only eliminate him, but like deport him. Like he can't be in the country. Like that's fucked up. Like, that's like really fucked up. Like it's really strange.
That has to be the most fucked up shape for pubes. A square. That's
it's like,
so unsettling.
It was really bad. It was really, really bad. And like this one guy, like I don't know why, but like, okay, like this, I found this so upsetting. This one guy, he had a handlebar mustache. He was a gay guy and he got eliminated for his mustache. Like when his face got revealed, the guy was like, I'm not into the mustache, eliminated him. The next season, they brought him back as the picker. Like he came back and he got to pick of five guys. And then at the end, when he comes out and he's naked to like acknowledge that he had been eliminated for his mustache, he had shaved his pubes into a handlebar mustache. And I was like, that is the most upsetting thing I have seen in like, I hate that so much.
Whoever came, how did you happen upon this show? How did the person who came up with it happen upon this?
There are like hundreds of episodes of it and it's all on, it's British, first of all, which is like, of course,
right.
British TV shows are insane, but it's on Max and it's really worth watching.
I'll have to check it out. I would really want to know if my, That's how I felt about like the matchmaker in here. Like when we did a matchmakers podcast, I'm like obsessed with how would this person evaluate me? Like I want to be on this show like that.
Totally.
I want to know how people perceive me.
Well, I think it's actually the one thing that's kind of satisfying about watching the show. Also, thank you for your call. We've clearly moved on from the call.
But yeah, but what was the official advice?
I don't even remember what the call was.
Coming early.
Oh, I think we told her. You have to tell. Yeah, we told. We gave her advice.
I think you don't break up, but you need to tell him. But don't
and come
try
at
not
with
to,
the medical thing first.
Yes, but don't make it too like medically. Like no, don't make it like in the nurse's office.
No, but like I said, don't make it about your dissatisfaction first. Make it about that. Hey, this is like a thing that you clearly are struggling
with.
Right,
exactly.
Okay, wait, back to Naked Attraction. The thing that I think is kind of amazing about when you watch it, and I feel like we've talked about a similar notion before, but there's like, because you're watching and you're also obviously evaluating these bodies and being like, oh, which one would I pick? Whatever, whatever. It shows you like, and then like sometimes the person like wildly disagrees with you and they're like, ew, absolutely not that person. And you're like, wait, that's the hottest of the five people. Mm-hmm. It just shows you that like everyone does have a different opinion on bodies and attraction. And it's like there is very little like objective truth. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's nice to see.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen. There is very little objective truth.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. We love you. Call in with your problems and your advice.
And make sure, you do the phone call, your phone number, and I will, while you do that, please, please, please leave us a 5-star review. We should start thanking the 5-star reviewers. That would be a good
thing. Oh, we should start doing that. Wait, I've been reading the Apple reviews on my, like I was reading the other day on the train. The Apple reviews are so sweet. The Spotify reviews, I love that you guys are doing them. There's more of those, but the Apple reviews, you can write little messages with them and they're so nice.
And our phone number is 929-269-4960. But I saw another DM today about international callers. Thank you so much for wanting to call in. I think that second call that we got was
beautiful
quality.
Yeah.
That's for sure because somebody recorded a voice message and just sent it to us. So,
which also, you don't have to be international to do that. We will accept calls that way always. Yeah. If you want to just record a voice memo and send it in, the only thing I will say about that is there's not going to be a time limit on that. Like the voice, like don't leave a 10-minute voice memo.
Yeah.
Let's still keep it to like 2.5 minutes max.
And just record the voice memo and then press share and email it to us at
basictrainingpod@gmail.com.
Basictrainingpod@gmail.com.
We love you.
We love you so much.
Bye.
Bye.